introduce our next speaker, who has been trekking and coming also not all the way from Virginia, but still from far away, if we know Southern California, which is the valley, with a couple of stops on the way. So I don't know how many freeways you had to pass by on that 405. But Jazakallah khair for, I know, sometimes it's you start counting, like, we passed this freeway and that freeway, and we're still on the same one, but may Allah reward you. May Allah reward you. So Ustad Alubna Yusuf Mullah is a motivational speaker. Many of you probably are familiar with some of her YouTubes that she does in a very humorous way, too, and gets us excited and optimistic with her beautiful smile, mashallah. She's a community educator, a member of the board of directors of Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research. She serves as an IOK Muslim chaplain at UCLA. She's the former National Tarbiyah Director of the Muslim American Society, where she's still an active member. And she is also the co-founder of the Muslim Marriage Rejuvenation Retreat. So all you couples, or well, you're not couples here, but all you sisters who have a who have a husband at home, or out in the work or somewhere, but anyone who has a relationship, who's married, that is the Muslim... We do a little pitch for you there, the Muslim Marriage Rejuvenation Retreat. And so she's going to be talking to us today about the Quran, hope, and prosperity. So join me in welcoming Ustada Lubna.
Welcome, everyone. Nice to see you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for trekking here as well. I know that it's not easy to, you know, sort your affairs and make your way over here. And Jazakallah khair for organizing this and for our lovely guest speakers too as well, alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, today I wanted to talk about hope in the Quran and really how can we read the Quran and listen to it and really get the message of hope in it. You know, as we're going to be talking about throughout the entire day today, the Quran was sent as a guidance for us. What a blessing. These messages were sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were meant to guide him and soothe him, the stories, the commandments, the ayat. And in turn, as we pray every day and we read these ayat in our prayers, and as we listen to Quran and as we memorize it, inshallah, and as we read Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us. He's giving us these stories of the prophets, these stories of people that are like you and I, these ayat, these signs that he has in his universe, they're meant for us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares these stories and these inspirations of hope in the Quran, it is meant to uplift us, inshallah, and meant to give us that same feeling, inshallah. Nice to see you ladies up there too. I just noticed you guys are up there too, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. You know, oftentimes when we think about hope, we kind of think of like this lofty feeling. You know, when like it's raining right now, alhamdulillah, and it's been partly cloudy. You know when the clouds part and like that ephemeral heavenly music, like, oh. You know, it's hope. Well, you know, yes, hope is like that, alhamdulillah. But it's in some, it's subhanAllah, we can call upon that necessary feeling of hope in really, really dark times. That's the beauty of hope. It's not just like this happy feeling, like I'm hopeful that we're going to have lunch today, you know, and that's a pretty good, that's where we're pretty much going to have lunch today, inshallah, you know, God willing. You never know what can happen. That's like a very near, we're excited about it. But hope is also something that we need for a lot of situations, but including really difficult times. Like we're in situations and we don't know what the end of it is going to be. There's like, we just have no idea. And there's so many stories in the Quran where our beloved prophets or their mother or a relative or a brother is in a really dark situation and they don't know what the end of it is going to be, and yet they call upon this quality of having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these are some of the things that I wanted to share with you all today, and hopefully to inspire us to have the same feeling. So hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as raja, it is to really, you know, have this idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and to have full confidence in his generosity. That's hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really understanding the vastness of His mercy and having full confidence in His generosity. And this confidence is sometimes difficult to come by, because when you don't see the way forward, it's cloudy, it's dark. How is this possible that I'm going to get out of this situation? Or how is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer my dua? This confidence in His generosity is so important. And the confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us is so important as well. So just kind of getting our minds wrapped around this concept from a definition perspective. And this is my just personal reflection on what are some of the necessary ingredients for hope. Because a lot of times when we think about these characteristics by themselves, we feel like, well, we should just be hopeful in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should just be there. But in my, you know, some of the things that I've been reflecting upon, there's two, and I'm sure there's more, there's two necessary ingredients in having hope. One of them is patience, sabr. Fasabrun jameel, right? And we know that Yaqub alayhi salam says this when Yusuf is gone. He doesn't know where Yusuf alayhi salam is, and he knows that his sons have betrayed him, right? So having patience, why is this important? Because when you don't know the way forward, when you're not sure what's going to happen, when you're not sure how you're going to get cured, you're not sure how this loved one's going to be returned back to you, you're not sure how you're going to get that job or that spouse or all the other things that we hope for, you have to be patient. You have to be patient and wait and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, knows that He has a plan for you, and that even in your difficulty, He's going to give you something better. You will achieve a higher status, inshallah. Something better will come out of this difficult situation. And the second goes very much along with this patience is trust. Tawakkul. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some of these stories, we're just going to highlight a few stories in the Quran that gives us these glimpses of hope. There were key moments of trust. And one of the ways in which we can trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing in these stories how there was difficulty, how there was uncertainty, there was hardship. And through the full circle of seeing the full story in the Quran, that the prophets themselves, or like I said, their relatives, and we'll talk about that, they got to see, oh yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised this, that He would help me. I didn't know exactly how, but in the end it happened. I have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do we each need to wait for all of these ayat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give us signs. He does give us glimpses. I'm sure, how many of you, if you were to look back on a difficult moment in your life, something that you waited for, or some really difficult situation, how many of you can look back 5 years, 10 years, and say, yes, I understand. I understand why this happened. I get it. It was difficult. It was not easy, but I get why it happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending you signs, right? He's also giving us Quran. He's also giving us these stories so that we can not have to wait for decades, we can see it. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this? Okay, I trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes sense. I'm going to also, before I share a couple of stories, I wanted to talk about a couple of difficult scenarios in people's lives in which we really need hope, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights that theme in the Quran. And one of them is divorce. In Surah 65, Surah At-Talaq. SubhanAllah, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 all talk so greatly about hope in the midst of a relationship breaking up, in the midst of a family breaking up, in the midst of families breaking up. Is the woman expecting? Is she not expecting? Is this something that she wanted? And now the marriage is falling apart. This is a very difficult situation in a person's life. And like I said, not only affecting the person who's getting married, but divorced. I know my mind is on marriage because of the marriage retreat, right? Not only the person themselves who's getting divorced, but the children, the spouse, and the families on both sides, and subhanAllah, even beyond that. The end of verse number 2, in Surah Talaq, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, I'll start from the beginning. Then when they have almost reached the end of their waiting period, meaning the women, when they're waiting for their iddah to finish, either retain them honorably or separate them from them honorably. And this is a commandment, subhanAllah, there's so much reminder in this surah of Talaq for men to have taqwa. It's for men to really be God-fearing, subhanAllah, and women, of course, as well. But this is such a sensitive and delicate, a difficult period. So after, you know, a previous separation, you either bring them back or you separate from them, but either way, honorably. And call two of your reliable men to witness either way, and let the witnesses bear true testimony for the sake of Allah. This is enjoined on whoever has faith in Allah and the last day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving very strict commandment on how talaq should be done with ihsan, that how divorce should be done with excellence, right? And not to hurt somebody. And the last part of this ayah, this is all ayah number two, and whoever is mindful of Allah, he will make a way out for them. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Such a powerful, powerful ayah. Subhanallah. Whoever has God consciousness, doesn't mean you're like the best Muslim in the world, you're so high, you know, you're the most pious. You have taqwa, you're trying. You're trying to do the things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're trying to stay away from the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. That's taqwa, in its simplest, very simple explanation, inshallah. So what about those people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out. How many of us are looking for a way out of something? A difficulty, a mental health illness, a situation, you know, a job that we're trying to get out of, something that we're trying to get out of. And the hope continues. The hope continues. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them from a place you would have never imagined. You don't know where it's going to come from. You have no idea. How many of you too, like we've heard stories, I was planning on going somewhere and I didn't have enough money and all of a sudden this thing came through, or someone just hands me an envelope. You know, I remember my uncle telling me that he'd been wanting to go to Hajj, and he really, you know, this is pre-days of internet and what have you, and trying to book tickets, and he really wanted to go badly and he just did not have the money. And somebody he forgot that he had loaned money years ago literally came up to him and gave him an envelope full of cash. Talk about like the old days, right? Who deals with cash anymore? An envelope full of cash. That would have been thousands, subhanAllah, and he was able to go. So from a place you would have never imagined. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is enough for him. Allah is enough. You just have to believe. You just have to believe, subhanAllah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala achieves his will and he has set a destiny for everything. Okay, so we have this one reminder about hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that's, and that was going into verse 3 as well. And then the ayah continues and talks about if, you know, those women that are waiting for their iddah to finish, that waiting period, if those who are pregnant, what have you, we have to wait. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is the first time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this phraseology in this surah. It comes again in ayah number 4. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. جَزَاكَ خَيْرًا. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And whoever is mindful of Allah, whoever has taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make their matters easy for them. How much difficulty is there in divorce? How much difficulty is there in any painful situation, any traumatic situation, any tragedy that may be going on around us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. That Allah will make their matters easy for him. He is promising us this. He is promising us this. And then, subhanAllah, the last time, the next ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it again, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعَظِّمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And whoever is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will absolve them of their sins. This will be a means of excusing your sins. We sin so much as human beings, this is normal, it's going to happen. Some much greater than others, but some just in the day-to-day, we're going to be piling up sins. That this difficulty may have been a means for our massive expiation of sins. This may have been the test that we needed, whatever test. Here in particular, we're talking about divorce, but any test may have been our means of just taking us to the next level, subhanAllah. And Allah, as the وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ اللَّهُ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعَظِّمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And reward them immensely. Who doesn't want immense reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you were to look back now and say, oh, that difficulty, if inshallah all of us are, you know, in Jannah and we're relaxing and we're having a good time, and if we're to look back, wow, that 6 month difficulty, that 1 year, that 5 year, that 10 year difficulty that I had to endure maybe decades long, wow, that was worth it. That was worth it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me my sins and He made me elevated in my reward. And that was worth it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so much hope in the Quran that we don't have to search for it. It's talking to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us through these verses. There's also hope in so many other situations. So one, I'm talking about breaking up a family, right? The family's falling apart. And there can be khair in that, right? And some of you, I know, you've experienced goodness out of that. It was a necessary thing that had to happen. What about when we have made great error and we can't forgive ourselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope after sin. Grave sins. Some people, you know, I'm a chaplain at UCLA, and I'm really sorry, I didn't do any warnings of like trigger subjects, so I'm gonna get a little bit heavy, so I apologize. I talked about divorce, and I'm just going to mention zina just in passing, but you know, some students, they come to me and they just feel horrible. They've committed zina, or sometimes they've approached it so closely, and they don't know what to do. They feel so bad. They're like, how can I pray? Oh, and then of course, unfortunately, then they stopped praying because they felt hypocritical. Well, I'm doing this thing, or I've done this thing, and I can't believe I got myself into this situation, and now how do I turn back? I can't even pray because I feel like I'm a hypocrite, because I feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope after the gravest of sins. Even if people have left Islam and they've come back, I mean, that's shirk, right? Or people who are searching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everything, including shirk, as long as you make tawbah, which I just caught the tail end of Dr. Zainab, so you talked about it, alhamdulillah, right? So we're familiar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous in that, and one of the most beautiful ayats in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah says, O my servants who have exceeded the limits against their souls. When we make a mistake, when we sin, we're sinning against ourselves. We're exceeding the bounds against ourselves. We're hurting ourselves when we sin. We're not hurting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of that. Oh, my servants. He's still calling you my servant. You've gone far away. He's calling you my servant who have exceeded the limits against your own soul. Do not lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. There's hope, right? Don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, for Allah certainly forgives all sins. You just have to make tawbah. He is indeed most forgiving, all forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous. So even when we have really fallen off of the track massively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to come back, and we always have that road to come back. What about hope in challenging times? So I talked about a couple of themes. One is during divorce, one's after we have committed grave sin. And now I wanted to highlight a couple of stories. One will be of Musa alayhi salam, just briefly, because I know we have limited time, and that of Yusuf alayhi salam, touching upon how trauma and tragedy has affected these prophets and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was constantly there for them. Not only that, but also planting the seeds of hope. Planting the seeds of hope for them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam was traveling with his family and he saw a fire in the distance, and he said, told his family, wait here, I'm gonna go, maybe I can get some directions, or maybe I can get some warmth from this fire. He meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching him now the signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give him any warning what these signs are for. He just says, oh, nice staff, what is that? Okay, now throw it down, and it becomes a snake. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be afraid, la takhaf. Many, many times in Surah Taha, Surah 20, Musa alayhi salam's story is throughout the entire Quran, but one long section of it is in Surah Taha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many times in the surah, la takhaf, la takhaf, do not fear, do not fear. Isn't that giving hope to Prophet Musa alayhi salam? Here's a sign. The snake is, your staff is going to turn into a snake. Don't be afraid. Go to Pharaoh. Don't be afraid. Right? And then we know Musa alayhi salam, he makes that famous dua. He asked for his brother to help him in this affair. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells again in this story, Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, they both say, now they're commanded to go to Prophet, to go to Fir'aun. And they are worried. He says, well, what if Fir'aun transgresses against us? What if he does something horrible to us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعْكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Allah reassured them, have no fear, I'm with you. I'm with you, hearing and seeing. Your journey, you're going to go far. You're going to face the most oppressive person I believe to have ever have lived on this earth, subhanAllah, and especially at that time. We can think of now some really oppressive tyrants that we've experienced in our lifetime or have heard of. Can you imagine you going to them and giving da'wah? SubhanAllah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them, to both of them, have no fear, I'm with you. I know, I can see everything, I can hear everything that you're going through, subhanAllah. And finally, when they, you know, moving forward in the story, when they reach the Red Sea, the ocean is in front of them. The army of Pharaoh is behind them. And his people, Musa alayhi salam's people, are like, what are we going to do? We're doomed. We're lost. Musa alayhi salam, he says, no, that Allah is with me and he will not let us be lost. He will not leave us. And of course, then he's commanded to strike his staff and the sea is parted for him. SubhanAllah, how would Musa alayhi salam know that this is going to happen? The sea is in front of me, the army is behind me, and the sea is going to open up for me. Isn't this a beautiful, let's go back to that ayah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقَ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whoever has God consciousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for you. Isn't that a way out? You have an obstacle before you and an obstacle behind you, and you have no idea how it's going to happen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa alayhi salam is amazing, and because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps reassuring him and showing him the signs and reminding him, in the end, when he's really put to the test, he's like, don't worry, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave us. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave us. And subhanAllah, part of the reassurance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam, when he was worried that I'm going to face Pharaoh and I'm worried what's going to happen, he reminded him, says, don't you remember that I inspired your mom to put you into the river and that you would be raised in the house of Pharaoh? Can you imagine the tyrant that you're now going to now? You were raised by him in the lap of luxury and in comfort and in safety, and you were able to be nursed by your mom. Remember later when you had to flee and you killed that man by accident? Didn't I help you in that situation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us all the time, look, trust. Have tawakkul and have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, going back to Musa alayhi salam's mom, imagine the situation that the ruling is out that all male children that are born to Bani Israel, they have to be killed. Because, of course, it's according to Pharaoh's dream interpretation when he went to an interpreter, that when he had this dream, that he said there will be somebody who will raise up from Bani Israel who will kill you and take over your kingdom. And so as a coward, of course, he wants to kill all the male children. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah number 28, he says, we inspired the mother of Musa. Nurse him, suckle him, but when you fear for him, put him into the river and do not fear or grieve. La takhaf. We will certainly return him to you and make him one of the messengers. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't be afraid and don't grieve. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling her this? Because that's super, super scary to let go. And we can take this even in a figurative type of situation, not only letting go of something physically, as Musa alayhi salam's mother is doing so with her child, but what about letting go for us? What are we afraid to let go of? Control, our children, a situation. And we're afraid. It's like literally like putting your child into the river. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be afraid and don't grieve. why we will certainly return him to you and make him one of the messengers. Not only are we going to bring him back to you, but we're going to elevate him in status. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to comfort her heart? Allowed her that they would make it so that only she would be able to nurse him. So she even got to be able to be with her child and nurse him, to be in the most intimate situation with your baby and let him be safe. SubhanAllah, under the eye of the one who's trying to kill him, SubhanAllah. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say a few ayats later? This is how we returned him to his mother so that her heart would be at ease and not grieve, that she would know that Allah's promise is always true, but what? But most people do not know. Allah's talking to us. Most people don't know. Do we have to wait for that promise? Do we have to wait that, okay, the prophethood is over. There's no more prophets, so we're not going to be the mother of a prophet. Okay, this is not going to happen to us. We're not going to, inshallah, have to put our child in the river. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this story, was telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam this story for him to be comforted. And he's telling us this story so we can be comforted, so that she would know, Musa alayhi salam's mother, but so that we would know that Allah's promise is always true. But most people do not know. You have to have patience and you have to trust. Believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something better for you and have the patience to wait for you to be able to see it. Inshallah. Maybe not 100% you'll be able to see it, but that you'll be able to get a taste of it, inshallah. And then we have, subhanAllah, hope in the midst of tragedy and trauma in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And when Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers conspired against him, they took him because they were jealous that he was one of the favorite of his father, of their father, mutual father, Yaqub alayhi salam. They decided, should we kill him? And one brother said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the bottom of a well. Maybe some travelers will pick him up. You know, at least, I was reading it again this morning. It was like, you know, he had something in his heart. Alhamdulillah. let's not kill him. Let's just throw him to the bottom of a well. Hopefully somebody will find him. So, alhamdulillah. You know what's amazing? Again, let's think about that ayah. Yusuf alayhi salam gets thrown to the bottom of the well. That's a deep, dark, removed, secluded place. And I'm sure he did not get in there safely. I'm sure he got hurt along the way. Right? He's in pain. He's alone. He doesn't know what's going to happen. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whoever has God consciousness, who's mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will find a way out for him. Literally, out of the bottom of a well. And you know, wells are deep. This is not like it's just like a little ditch or something. Wells are deep, subhanAllah. And look what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, ayah number 15, and so when they took him away and decided to throw him into the bottom of the well, we inspired him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired to Yusuf alayhi salam this beautiful part of the ayah. One day, you will remind them of this deed of theirs while they are unaware of who you are. Isn't that beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hope? In the middle of darkness, he didn't say, don't worry, your next meal's coming, probably in a couple hours, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it, there's some travelers, maybe just a day, you're going to be good. No, subhanAllah, this is in the face of injustice. This is in the face of tragedy. This is in the face of trauma, of being afraid, alone. One day, you will remind them of this deed of theirs while they are unaware of who you are. He's going to have some type of a high position. Remember his dream in the very, very beginning of the surah that he shares with his father, that I have a dream that the stars and the moon and the sun are prostrating towards me. And Yaqub alayhi salam tells his son, don't tell your brothers because shaitan may sow enmity between you. SubhanAllah, without even telling the dream, shaitan was still there to sow enmity because there's envy. And envy is, you know, it's a human nature to have that. He will have a high position, right? And we see in the end that he has a high status in Egypt, being the wazir, the emir, the aziz. Just like, look, I'm watching too many Osman, so I'm thinking of all kinds of the aziz. Alhamdulillah. He's going to have this high status where he is in charge of the finances of Egypt, subhanAllah. So Allah's planting the seed of hope in this dark moment, which kind of reminds us, inshallah, and hopefully inspires us that even in the face of difficulty where you don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, You don't know how you're going to get out of it. You don't know how you're going to have the means, whether it be emotionally or financially or psychologically. What's going to happen? I don't know. But, you know, this story is reminding us, in the midst of being in the bottom of the well, have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have hope. He's there. Even Yaqub alayhi salam, his sons have betrayed him. His son is lost. And eventually the other son becomes lost too, right? Benjamin, they also have to take Benjamin. It just gets worse and worse and worse, subhanAllah. What does Yaqub alayhi salam say? He says, "Oh my sons, go and search for Yusuf and his brother. And do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah, for no one loses hope in Allah's mercy except those with no faith." Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. They've committed a big sin, and they lied about it. And now they've messed up and they've lost their brother, but that was part of the plan, right? That was part of Yusuf alayhi salam's plan. Things are really messed up, and Yaqub alayhi salam is already amazing because he has this gentleness about him too. He's still advising his sons, even though they have committed grave sin, and they've also lied to him and they betrayed him. He's saying, go and search for your brothers and do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. I don't want to mess it up. Jazakallah khair, barakallah feek. Wala tayasu min rawhillah. Don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. This is a reminder to us as well. You know, when we're in dark times and we don't see forward, don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of difficulty, when you don't know the way forward, when you're wanting something and you're not getting it, when you're oppressed, when you're in a difficult situation, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. He will either reward you immensely and or also make this a means of forgiving your sins or an expiation of your sins as if they did not happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all keep us hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in our most difficult times, may He make it so that we always keep our hope and love for Him. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Jazakallah khair. We'll get another takbir. MashaAllah, Ustada Lubna, always inspiring us. And a beautiful, beautiful talk on hope. And just quick recap, she recapped multiple times. But the main things are patience and trust. And it's having that tawakkul, not knowing what it's going to look like. So it is in that depths of despair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still refers to us as His servants. And keeping that connection and being able to know and have that full yaqeen, that trust. I don't even know what would be like certainty, like absolute certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and in His generosity and in His love for us. So jazakallah khair. How many of you are enjoying this so far? Have learned or have, yes, we can give jazakumullah khair to the organizers again, to everybody who made it out here in person, because really, this is where we build our connections with each other, we strengthen our connections with each other, we're reminded of our connection with the Qur'an, with our deen, with our way of life. And so everybody being here, whether it's in person, or those of you who are not physically able to be here but are streaming online, jazakumullah khair, because the energy, the love is felt. And so you all make this possible, so jazakumullah khair for being here.